Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got
good evening, good evening, good evening.
Really?
We are so going to get it.
What?
I'm going to get it right.
What?
Okay, because I couldn't find my share button.
Hers?
Uh-oh. Hold on, y'all. Okay. You're tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Coming to you live from TTLO Media. You can join us on Blog Talk Radio at 323-870-4375. Press 1 to join. Again, that's 323-870-4375. Press 1 to join us on this great evening. It's a beautiful day outside, too. And if you want to follow us on all social media platforms, just follow us at Healthy Soul Talk. If you want to email us any questions, concerns, comments, topics for the show, you can email hst at ttlomedia.net. Again, that's hst at ttlomedia.net. And, of course, you can follow TTLO Media on iHeartRadio and Spotify. Again, you're tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. And we are ready to rock and roll this evening. I'm just going to get myself together later. Because clearly
you need a commercial.
Let me see here. Okay. No, I'm not like savvy. It's not on my page. I know it's here, but we're going to do something different, like later. All
okay.
Right. Hoo-wee. How y'all doing? My favorite producers.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It isn't on your page.
Yeah.
Let me add it.
All right. So thank you for tuning in while we get this here started. Of course, Healthy Soul Talk is a full-service counseling firm where we focus on mental health, outpatient substance use treatment, domestic violence for aggressors, anger management, as well as family counseling, counseling for youth, at-risk youth. We've been doing a lot of trauma work, and so just looking forward to the summer. Have a lot of things coming up, a lot of collaborations. And so we definitely want to make sure you all stay informed and just be in the know, right? We're in this healing on this healing journey, this healing process, and we want to make sure we offer the critical services that's desperately needed as we rebound and recover from what's going on in the world today. All right. So again, thank you. You're tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. All right. So you want to take a quick break, or are we good to keep going?
We good. Do you need to take a we can do
let's
that.
Let's do the percolator.
You said let's do the percolator. We're gonna exercise to the oldest.
Oh God. Yeah.
Just give me 60 seconds, y'all, to get it together.
You good.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So if you tuning in, go ahead and share. Right, it's me this evening. Trying to figure this thing out. Look at your neighbor and say, be on time, right? Be early, and you can work out
Lord.
The technical difficulties when you get here, all right? I just want to say, here we go, that I appreciate all your feedback. I appreciate the phone calls that we get at the office. I even get inboxed sometimes, and it's a great encouragement when people share with me their journey to healing. And I like for people to be well. You know, I like for people to embrace the counseling experience and know that, you know, you don't have to go through, you know, this thing alone, right? You don't have to do life, you know, alone. Know that there are people, there are support groups out there. There are a variety of treatment options, right? Everything is confidential, you know? And so always know that if you need to a confidential space where you could just talk and be vulnerable, take that risk. Right. Take that first step in reaching out and making those phone calls. I believe in, you know, finding what works for you. And so it definitely helps when you have your questions ready. You know, I like for people when they call us at the office to question, right? Ask as many questions as you like. And I get a lot of questions, right? People calling and that lets me know that they've done their research. You know, and they have said to themselves they want this to be the best experience possible for them. And I love that, you know, ask about, you know, how long you've been, you know, practicing. Ask about, you know, are you familiar with treating or, you know, working with people with these type of issues? Ask those questions, right, so that you feel comfortable with what's going on. Between you and that particular therapist or that particular group, because I believe in groups as well, which is our specialty, providing very important group services. All right, so there we are. Right, I think I've said enough about that and why I do what I do, which is just having an open and candid conversation about mental wellness and in every area of life. All right. There we go. So back to you all. How are you all doing? How's your week going so far?
I'm great. I'm sorry. My weekend is going great. I'm trying to keep up with y'all. I'm great. I'm good. I'm good. You're doing well?
I am.
That's good. That's good.
trying to plan a vacation this year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Anywhere in particular?
Out of the country. You know, the family wants to go out of the country. So everybody had to get their passports.
Did you have any trouble?
Getting passports?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No. It's interesting how you know, for the kids,
mm-hmm.
that whole process, you know, both parents have to, you know.
Oh, yeah, because they don't want, right, because you
know,
right.
Like you go leave the country and don't come back.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know. You might, you know.
right? But no, that was no problem. We all one accord with that.
Okay.
But I went there and I the lady at the post office gave me a hard time about the picture. Now, mind you, I took the photo at Walgreens days before.
Everyone, y'all got y'all volume up on something. Turn it down because I'm hearing all the replays, and I'm sure if I'm hearing it, they're hearing it too.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't have anything on over here.
Okay. Maybe it's over there. Go ahead.
So I, you know, gave her the little square photo, and I had, you know, I had my afro.
Okay.
I had my afro when I went to take the packet in.
Mm-hmm.
But on the photo, I had the twist with it flat.
Okay.
And she said, is this you? I said, yeah, it is. You know, I had my mask on.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yeah, it's me. So I took my mask off now because she was just staring at me in the photo. And she still stared at me in the photo as if she said, I have to make sure you're not trying to get this for someone else.
Wow.
Right. And I said, well, here I have a, you know, my DePaul faculty ID and another one. And I said, well, here, will this work? Oh, my hair was different on that photo, too.
And where were you at?
The post office.
Wow.
I was like, lady.
You're trying to get employee of the year.
Don't. You know, we both ethnic. Now, you know.
Right. Y'all had change in a moment's notice.
Right. Just let it rain and it changes. So, yeah, that was, she was like, okay. I was like, lady, it's me. Okay, I don't think I would come and purchase, you know, a passport. And I had to get it replaced because I had one years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that one. And it expired anyway.
Oh, yes. See, mine is expired, too. I do need a new one. Yeah.
So yes, we are on the roll and we're planning the trip. So wherever, you know, my oldest books us, I guess that's where we're going. So
okay.
That's where we're headed.
Okay, cool.
Very good. All right. So here we go. Thank you for tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. And so as we jump in here, I often start the show with a spiritual connect point. And I definitely, you know, when I do these, I'm very excited because a lot of times I am processing this on my own. And, you know, trying to piece together, you know, people I speak with and just, I find that there are a lot of similarities, right? Because I'm more open with where I am and how far I've come, right? With my spiritual growth. And I don't know, I just feel so good talking to people, about spirituality.
Okay.
And kind of how today's time is impacting us in so many different ways. And to be honest with you, I didn't know talking about the word and people and how they share, how they apply God's word and their challenges and struggles, how rewarding that could be.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because, you know, I when I got into the workforce, it was forbidden, right? It was this, you keep religion and
politics,
yeah,
politics and religion, yeah, you leave
it
at home.
Leave it at home.
Right.
And because, you know, I've grown in a profession and, you know, I'm my own boss, right? And I see now that more and more people are talking about spirituality, right? The Bible. You just say that the Bible in the professional world, right? Mm-hmm. On their jobs, wherever we are, right? I hear people talking. I'm like, wow, this is God, right? Because I remember a time where people were reprimanded. Right in the workplace from talking about that. So I feel like I have become more comfortable, right, talking and sharing this with people, not just in the clinical setting, but just, you know, in my own private space, right? So that's kind of where I am and kind of how this is manifesting. So today's spiritual connect point is, what does it mean to ask God for a clean and pure heart? And so I worded it, I was challenged with how it was worded because I was reading it, and it wasn't quite gelling right with what I was thinking versus what I was reading.
Okay.
So the angle here is, you know, growing up right in the church, I was hearing two things. I was hearing, you know, asking God to give you a clean heart, right? You know, we know a few songs, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
of course, there's scripture. But then there was also when you go to God and you talk to God, you should have a clean heart, right? If that makes sense, you should have, you know, come to God a certain way, right? And not with any motives or anger, right? Just kind of all this negative, right, energy, right, when you are with God. It was kind of these two things that were kind of lingering with me was, yes, if you're going through something, something's in your heart, right, ask God to remove it, right? But then there's also how you approach God,
mm-hmm.
right, and how you, right, come into his presence. And so I began to listen to people, and I've experienced where in myself included, where if I was feeling a certain way, it was blurred sometimes, like if I was angry, right, or if I was, you know, just kind of in a space, right, because
mm-hmm.
life was hitting hard, and I felt like because I was in a bad space that I couldn't pray to God, right, because I wasn't in the right, quote unquote, mindset,
mm-hmm.
right, and so I was like, what, you know, wait. How am I supposed to get to ask God, right, to
mm-hmm.
remove the stuff from me if I feel like I'm not coming to him right? Like, is there a such thing as coming to God wrong, right? Is there a certain, you know, a thing where it's almost like watch how you talk to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're in a bad space, right?
Okay.
Right? How do you get to, quote, unquote, a humble space where you come gently, if that makes sense.
Okay.
When
okay.
you're upset, like when
mm-hmm.
you're genuinely enraged, right? So I just want to kind of stay there in, you know, what do you say to people where they feel like because their hearts are not right,
mm-hmm.
that they're not entitled to pray, right? Because we're constantly saying, come to God a certain way, but then yet ask him, right? For a pure heart. So how can we know the difference, right, better between the two with, you know, needing God to purify you and give you that space, right, to reflect, right,
mm-hmm.
that you are part of him and that you are, you know, reflecting who he is, right, in your day-to-day walk, but also there be times where you got an attitude and life ain't treating you,
mm-hmm.
right, and you are mad. Can you still pray if you're mad at the world?
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you yell, right? Can you like really let out your true emotions, right, when you come to God and ask him to? So, yeah, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Okay. All right. There you go. That's where I was.
Okay. So your question delves into what is it? Psalm 51. Psalm 51,
okay.
I believe, is where David asked the Lord to give him a clean heart. David asked the Lord to give him a clean heart, first of all, because of where his heart was, what led to that situation. So you first have to deal with what led to that situation. David had gotten himself in some trouble.
Okay.
So David, you know, and for those who don't know, David, you know, king of Israel and God's chosen person, had been anointed as a child king, had went through all of these wars and battles to become king and reunite Israel all under one, Jerusalem and Israel and Judea all under one banner. And David found himself in the midst of committing adultery. By taking another man's wife,
okay,
who he happened to see on the roof naked while he was out there chilling. He looked over and saw her taking a bath across the way, and he then conspired to have her killed. I mean, to have the husband killed when she came up. She ended up pregnant. And so he first tried to get her to lay with her husband, get Uriah to come home. He called him home in the midst of a war. And said, come home, go be with your wife. And Uriah said, Uriah was such a a moral person. He says, I would be wrong to go home and lay down with my wife when I have my men out on the battlefield who may not ever see their families again. So Uriah did not even sleep in his own house because David was going to try to pass off the baby, had it been born, as Uriah's. Fast forward past that didn't work. So now David made arrangements to have Uriah sent. They were on their way to another battle, and he had Uriah sent to the front lines so that Uriah would definitely be killed. Okay. But David's priest, his prophet, I believe it was Jonathan, came to him and told him the story. He says, what would you do in a situation where a great ruler had all the wealth and stuff in the world, but he took the lamb from one of his people? And David said, well, that man should be stoned and that man should be destroyed or whatever. And Jonathan said, yes, you're right, and that's you. And David knew then that he was in trouble. So I'm paraphrasing. So now we fast forward. David, who knew the Spirit of God, who was anointed by God, chosen by God, called by God, fell. And David said, okay, I know my heart is messed up. David's fear was that the same thing that happened to Saul would happen to him, that God would remove his anointing, would remove his spirit from him. So that's why David fell to his knees and went up into sackcloth and ashes. If I can talk about ashes for a moment, okay. That was the purpose of ashes, was to show that you were in this period of mourning and repent. That's why they used ashes in the Old Testament. Now, there's no reference to ashes in the New Testament, but that's a different conversation. But he went to a great extreme, and he rent his clothes and he laid prostrate on the ground and he begged the Lord to give me a clean heart. And then he also said, renew the right spirit in me. So he went to God, toe up like he was, to get back to your point.
Right.
He went to God. He didn't wait until he felt better to go to God. He didn't wait until his head was in a better place to go to God. He went to God in the midst of what, and right in the middle of his situation. And then even in the midst of that, there was still some punishment. There were still consequences for David's actions. God did remove his anointing, but he still had to pay those consequences.
Right.
So when we talk about praying to God for a clean heart, that's you first. We talked about this in Bible study yesterday. That's you first being humble enough to say, Lord, my current situation that I put myself in is toe up. And Lord, I'm coming to you to fix my heart first, not me. Fix my heart first, because see, you got to start there. The heart is the source of everything. If the heart is malfunctioning, then so will the body, so will the brain. So that's why David started at the beginning. Because he was a man after God. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. David was. Then David then says, okay, well, God, I need a clean heart now, because my heart has been so, he was full of war, he was full of battles, he was full of all of this stuff he had been going through. So some part of David got puffed up and said, I'm the king, I'm the chosen one, I can get who I want, I can have who I want. But once he recognized that he was in a fallen state, he went to God while in his fallen state. So if you want to worry about waiting and say, well, you know, that's like the statement people make, when I get myself together, I'll go to church. When I get myself together, I'll talk to God then. And God is not that kind of God. God says, come to me just like you are. You asked about being angry. Yes, go to God when you're angry. Yes, it's so, watch this. Yes, it's okay to be angry with God. You can be disappointed. You can be upset that God took somebody away, that you felt like it was 10 other people in your family he could have took. But but he took the person that you thought should still be here. Okay to be angry. It's a righteous anger. But again, you don't let your anger lead to sin.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I say that this question needed clarity, because there are people, and I've felt this way, where I wasn't in my flesh prepared, like my attitude wasn't right, you know. From all practical purposes, I wasn't sure about what I wanted to say. I just knew I was, you know, in the space that I was in. And I often also hear people when they say, I'm not ready yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like there's a certain way that they believe they need to be, right, before
mm-hmm.
they go in the presence of God or before mm-hmm. they feel their relationship with God. And it's like, no, right? Coming to God means that, you know, what asking for a pure heart is to recognize, right,
yeah.
where you are and ask him, right,
mm-hmm.
for guidance, right? I felt like it was saying be vulnerable.
Yes.
Right? And understanding that you can be vulnerable with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that he actually is the safest place, the safest, right, source to be vulnerable with,
mm-hmm.
right, and transparent. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? So it's
yeah.
like, you know, now's not the, don't hide, right, what you're feeling. Don't hide who you are because that's the stuff he wants you
mm-hmm.
to come to him with. Right. So I just want, you know, that clarity is, you don't need to be in a certain condition.
Right. Right. You don't
to seek God.
You don't
right?
have to be, you know, it's not about what your titles, your skill set, your demographic, your financial status. None of those things are going to get you in the presence of God any faster.
Right.
So,
right.
so there is a Latin phrase, I'm probably gonna tear it up. I think it's called coram deo or coram
okay.
deo. And it talks, and that's about being in the presence of God. And David was saying, when David said, don't remove your spirit from me, or the song that Kirk Franklin wrote, don't take your joy from me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what David was saying when he said, restore to me
mm-hmm.
the joy of my salvation. Make me a new creation. That's what David was saying. So David took that opportunity to say, look, I'm coming to you in the raw. I'm coming to you.
Right.
I'm lowering I'm putting my crown on the floor. I'm putting my kingly robes on the floor because none of this stuff is as important to me as my relationship with you.
Yeah.
So being the best position to be in, regardless of your physical or mental state, is knowing that you can still go to God despite
mm-hmm.
circumstances.
And
yes.
unlimited.
There's no credit limit on God.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the other thing to it is that you're always going to be asking God
mm-hmm.
to purify
mm-hmm.
and clean your heart.
You
your,
should.
Your thoughts. You
mm-hmm.
know, because I think sometimes we expect that thing or that feeling won't ever come back, right? So,
mm-hmm.
so once it's removed,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like temptation,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, if drinking, right, is your beast, right?
Okay.
Then most likely you will always be tempted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we always, alcohol is everywhere.
True.
Does that mean so it's
True.
Like we have to understand that because the world is the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you will always be asking God to preserve you. You will always be asking God, right, to cleanse and because people are people, right? And we're social. So it's not a one-time prayer, right? It's almost like don't be disappointed or discouraged if you got to go to God again.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For us. The same thing or a similar thing. It's just, that's how you, for me, that's how you stay connected and continue to give God glory. Cause sometimes we forget, right. Or we loosen up, right. Or how
mm-hmm.
often we talk to him when we feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I understanding that's a recurrent request.
You mentioned something early on before you actually got into the meat of this about sharing the word and how it makes you didn't realize how much sharing the word had an effect on you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've always tried to get people to understand is when you share the gospel, when you share your walk, when you share your story, people don't recognize that when you withhold those stories, they don't recognize the amount of selfishness involved.
Wow.
Because
wow.
what you don't recognize is that when you speak about God in your situation, you could possibly be helping mm-hmm. somebody else who may be in a similar situation or completely different, but you're showing them a way out.
Okay.
And by you saying, by you having that level of vulnerability with someone else to say, I'm in this situation with all of my titles and whatever, whatever.
Right.
I'm
right.
in this situation right. and I need to go to God. And this is how God brought me out, even me in this situation that I put myself in. That's the very thing that could break somebody else's chains.
Mm.
Those are the things. That's why I tell people all the time about, I get people crack jokes about me always preaching and talking about praise and worship, but that's why it's so important to share your praise with other people. That's why it's so important for other people sometimes to see you in the midst of praise, because they'll say, watch this, if I know you're going through something and I see you praising, then that gives me the mindset to say, well, with all the mess going on in her life,
mm-hmm.
she can still mm-hmm. praise God. Then what am I holding on to?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So why am I fighting this? So absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. You got me pumped up. Because I think that there's comfort, right?
Yeah,
talking about
that's a good word,
and
comfort.
Somebody right now is walking around wishing they had someone they can talk to
this.
And so I will say my journey, I've become more comfortable sharing my story, right?
That's good.
But I had to get more rooted in the word because – I don't know about you, but like, if you're going to share with me your journey,
yeah,
I need you to share scripture and how you use scripture to live your life. Now, don't just tell me what you don't do anymore, because that doesn't help me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we used to say, all you have to do is this or overnight, right? I was healed and delivered. It was like, not quite. You was laid out on the floor. And you still have to run to God and cry.
What did you
God.
Do leading up
they,
to
they
that
don't
night
tell
of
us the ugly part.
Right. What did you do leading up to that night of delivery?
Yeah. So I feel like, sharing that and you have to know and live out the word, right? We all have a testimony, right? But do we actually live and breathe?
I said it like this one time. Everybody's deliverance is birthed from something. And we all want everybody to be delivered. And and deliverance is, I'll use this illustration. It's easy for a man or another woman to tell another woman, oh, you'd make a great mother. Oh, you should have a baby and you should do this and you should do that. But they have never been on the delivery table. So they can't tell you, like, you want to know about the experience.
Yeah.
What happens throughout this 9-month process? Talk about the feet swelling and the clothes not fitting and the sweats and the hungers and the cravings and all of those things. So because unfortunately in church and in a lot of places, we only talk about the deliverance piece. We don't want to talk about how the sausage is made. We just want to talk about the final product.
Yeah.
But see, we need to be raw with our people and say, hey, God is going to be with you throughout the sausage-making process.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. And when it gets ugly and nasty and hurtful, he's still going to be there. Now the goal is to get into the final product. But in the meantime, my former pastor preached a sermon called "In the Meanwhile." In the meanwhile, there's a lot there that takes place, and that's the part when people say, "When I was going through my meanwhile experience, these are the scriptures that got me through."
Yeah.
When I was going through my meantime experience,
this
is what God put on my heart. This is what I prayed. This is what I read daily while I was going through. And then after that season passed, I moved on to this scripture. And then this scripture brought me through the next season and the next season. Or this song brought me through. So those are the things that make it relevant to people versus saying, well, I just read what David did. No, tell me, give me your version.
Relevancy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you don't have to have read the entire Bible,
God,
right?
No.
To share,
mm-mm.
right? How the word is keeping you and providing, right? For you. And again, right? This is just me. I feel, just diving in to dissecting and, we have a lot more time on our hands, right? During this pandemic. So I was like, wow, you know, this is a great time to get in the word and study,
mm-hmm.
right, with less interruptions and just chaos, right, in the world. So yeah, that's kind of where I am, right, is just diving into these terms that I've heard over the years and bringing clarity, right, because there are some people who are challenged, right,
mm-hmm.
with spending time with God because they feel like their heart is not right.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the best condition,
mm-hmm.
right, and we – somebody right out there is holding back on sharing how
yes.
the condition they were in
mm-hmm.
when they came to God and gave their life and went from there, right? Even throughout the journey, still mess up.
Think about
you know?
It from a you work with substance abuse people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So think about it from that
Absolutely.
Standpoint
yep.
of those people when they go to the meetings
mm-hmm.
and they stand up and share their story.
Mm-hmm.
They're helping somebody else who's in the room who has a very similar story.
Right.
And that's the whole purpose
Power.
Of them being
yeah.
encouraged to share
right.
is because they can, somebody who's there who might think that they did the absolute worst thing in the midst of their habit might find out
mm-hmm.
that there's a CEO in the room of a Fortune 500 company
that
who had
true.
The same who did worse than what you did.
That is true. That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true. Yeah, absolutely. So yes, get on it. go to God in whatever condition,
mm-hmm,
right? You're
mm-hmm,
in,
yeah.
you know, wherever your spirit is, whatever your attitude is, go to God, right? Petition and allow Him to speak to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's the most important thing is that when you go, you're ready to
mm-hmm.
submit, right? And hear what God has to say. All right, good stuff. All right, yes. So. Staying with that, right? We're trying to make sure, right, on this show we approach a holistic, right, perspective here. And so we started this series called Living Through Chronic Trauma, right? And last
mm-hmm.
week we got into talking about the emotions, right? The immediate and delayed reactions to trauma, the emotional reactions. And so we're talking about chronic trauma because we're still, you know, living right in it, right? We're,
mm-hmm.
we're continuously exposed to trauma. And so I wanted this week to zone in on the physical immediate and delayed reactions to trauma. And so this is significant because when we look at a trauma-informed approach to clinical work or community work, we have to look at various aspects of life, right? Emotion, financial, emotional, financially, psychologically, right? All these aspects where we're impacted, where no one will see it on the outside,
mm-hmm.
right? But a person feels it. And it has this domino effect when it causes debilitating, right, things to happen and it stifles you, you know. And so when you think about the trauma that you know of going on today, and there are some people who, let's just go with the violence, right? We know many mothers who have lost multiple children,
mm-hmm.
right, to violence. And I use that example because when I hear that story on the news, how that mother has, this is the second child, the third child, right,
mm-hmm.
that they've lost in a one year, right, span to violence, you know, I see the impact of that, right? I see it and I hear it. And that's just one aspect of trauma. And so these things, while we're not the victims of, right, those particular traumas, we're survivors of it, but we still have stress reactions. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so last week when we dived into the emotional reactions, we ranged from guilt, anxiety, numb, helplessness. Right. Those were the immediate, but then long term irritability, hostility, depression, mood swings, unstable mood swings, fear, trauma, recurrence, grief reactions. Right. Just thinking about these things, you say, OK, now what happens when, you know, you can't sleep? Right. And your body, your physical body begins to change. And you may say, okay, I don't know. All of a sudden, right, I've been feeling this way. And we have to look at physical reactions, to trauma. And this is not just the direct victimization of trauma, but more of the hearing of, the witnessing of, right? That can also lead a person to experiencing this. So there's a couple of short-term or immediate things that are felt. And one of those things is nausea, right? And gastrointestinal distress.
Okay. No, I didn't hear the first word, but I got
nausea.
You. That's what you said.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. I didn't know what you had said. I want you to say it one more time. Say it one more time.
Nauseous.
Thank you. Okay, I just want to make sure I heard the word right. That's all.
So thinking about that, and we know, right, when you talk about gastrointestinal distress, bloated, right, digestive issues, and your body is then producing, right, these chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
That's an overload, right? Sweating, right? Shivering, faintness, right? Muscle tremors, uncontrollable shaking,
mm-hmm.
elevated heartbeat, and elevated blood pressure, right? Extreme fatigue and exhaustion, greater startle response and depersonalization, right? You know, when you think about this, this is the immediate physical reaction. And if you already have those predisposed illnesses, such as, right, high blood pressure or diabetes, or other, you know, ailments that you, even with asthma, right, these things can elevate or exacerbate, right, those particular illnesses to which they then become unmanageable. And so, I don't know if you all have experienced this, where those who have that sudden impact of a loss or, you know, traumatic experience where they have to be hospitalized, right? More so for the physical things that they're going through,
mm-hmm.
right? And not necessarily that particular traumatic event. Does that make sense? So like getting robbed, right, at gunpoint, right? You weren't injured from that, but now, right, you're having panic attacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're having a nervous breakdown, right? So now you're hospitalized, right, because of your immediate reaction, your physical reactions to that traumatic event, right? And so there is a such thing, right, that where paying attention to your body, right, excessively sweating, right, that's huge, because then sometimes you can go into the shiver, right, or uncontrollable shaking, as well as like your heartbeat, right, and having difficulty, you know, catching your breath,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are those immediate things. And then you have the delayed physical reaction, right, where you have nightmares, right, and further sleep disturbances. Just think about, have either of you ever like couldn't sleep like the entire night, like you were literally up?
Oh, that used to happen all the time.
So were you like sitting up, or were you able to lay down and just kind of?
No, laying down makes it more frustrating. So I'll sit up.
Okay, so you were sitting up.
Laying down, you nod off thinking that you're going to go to sleep, but then you don't. And then after laying there wondering why you can't sleep,
mm-hmm.
For me, I've always just, I'll just sit up.
Mm,
because laying there is only going to like frustrate you.
Frustrate. Yeah.
At least for me. So I'll sit up. I don't know about Tanya. But you gotta She wasn't ready.
I mean, I was, but I wasn't.
No, I just found myself sitting up.
Okay.
Like you said, you do get frustrated laying down,
mm-hmm.
and everything, and if sleep does follow you and everything, just for that 5 minutes, it's very frustrating. I have seen the birds sing, like, you know, like, how y'all doing?
Mm. Well, yeah. And imagine that so, and I'm pretty sure you were both able to adjust, right, in the upcoming days, or, you know, whatever you did the next day, with trauma and chronic trauma, or untreated trauma,
mm-hmm.
Impact of trauma, I should say, that person could be up for days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you find where, it just, and we know that when you sleep, the body repairs itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so not sleeping, whether that be because when you close your eyes, right, you revisit, you know, what happened, or other things start to come to your mind that was in your unconscious. Like so many things can contribute to you not sleeping, which then leads to some assistance with getting sleep, right? And we have people who, you know, and I'll just take you to the journey of like what we're used to seeing where they start consuming alcohol, right? And what this looks like is a glass of wine, right, before bed. They typically try a lower proof, right, of alcohol. And so they start out with wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the wine isn't working anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? So they kind of shift to, you know, the mixed drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what essentially used to be one drink
right
before they go to bed,
right,
has now turned into literally when they get home, they start drinking up until the time they go to bed, right? And so now their body is beginning, right, to get used to alcohol, right, being their source of sleep aid, quote unquote, right? That's one way. Another way we see is people invest in over-the-counter, right, sleep aids, you know? And so thinking about that, you know, I believe in, you know, doing what's best for you, but also, you know, letting your doctor know, right? If you know you've gone through something or something is bothering you, right, that you check in, because now you may need to check your blood, your hormone levels, your chemical levels, all that good stuff. And so thinking about that before you start a regimen of sleep aids, because now some people add to the regimen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they consume the alcohol and they start consuming the sleep aids over the counter. Right. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
True.
Right. And so now it's like, okay, now you're conditioning your body to manage, right, these physical symptoms or these reactions in a certain way, but it's still not working. Typically, why? Because it's an emotional, right? It's an emotional thing. It's something that has happened that you need to address. And some people start consuming marijuana.
The edibles.
Mm-hmm. The edibles. And, you know, before the whole, you know, marijuana is legal and we have these dispensaries, right?
Right.
You know, people were, now this is combination, right? So smoking, drinking, and over-the-counter sleeping.
Mm.
Right. And so you're trying, right? People are doing these cocktails or they're really trying to figure out, well, what's going to work. And now, obviously, there's a financial investment to this as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, their bodies are feeling different,
mm-hmm.
right? So now they have other things going on because all these things are depressants, right? Alcohol and marijuana are depressants. And so just really understanding when you have had exposure to trauma and you begin to have these physical reactions, it's still a time to invest in your mental wellness. Right, in addition to addressing the physical reaction, because the temporary fixes, right, may or may not work, right? And so typically what I hear with this is, especially when it comes to like so changes in eating, right? So mm-hmm. appetite changes, digestive issues start to occur. I didn't hear where some people can't eat breakfast literally until they smoke.
Wow.
Right. And just understanding like this is real, right? This is real that now you've had this exposure to trauma, but you've had these physical, you know, reactions in your body, right? And so now you're trying to get back aligned, to get back to your regular state of being, but it's not working. And so now in order to get your appetite back. Or people say, I noticed that I only have an appetite if I smoke, right? Mm. Or you get the edible. Mm. So now essentially you're saying, right, you have to use a substance just to eat some food.
Wow.
Right? And, you know, that's huge because some people now sometimes they only smoke or eat the edible,
mm-hmm.
right, instead of consuming food. So now your body is depleted, right? Dehydration kicks in. And you know, there have been cases where we've had to refer people, right, to be hospitalized because they were dehydrated,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, when you're dehydrated, that in itself causes lack of concentration, right?
Yes.
And mental health issues. So you can see the domino effect, right, when you have these prolonged mental health and physical reactions here, that it can just be this ping pong, right?
We see it in schools all the time, you know. So
our
children don't go to bed at night either because their household won't allow them to.
Oh,
whatever's going on in their house. And we're talking about, you know, fifth and sixth graders now, probably younger than that, but I'm just going about what I've been dealing with for the last couple of years.
Wow.
Fifth and sixth graders who don't go to bed at night. So they come to school sleepy. And then because they don't eat any breakfast in the morning or anything, then there is literally, like you talk about body being depleted. So you've got no rest and you've given your brain nothing to feed off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you are a walking zombie until lunchtime.
Yeah.
Or you sleep through your first class to make up for the sleep that you didn't get at night.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is a major there's a major effect there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's in early childhood, right? So imagine these patterns that
mm-hmm.
we probably know high school students, right, who are still in the same pattern. Right. And they have been exposed, right, to trauma. And like you said, that's also a traumatic experience for a kid, too. Right. When it's chaos,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the home and no rest. Right. And you're hearing and you're seeing things. So that we're including this. Right. And in the whole idea of exposure to trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Another delayed physical reaction as it relates to chronic trauma is lowered resistance to colds and infections.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when we talk about paying attention, you know, to your body, right? Like for you, like how, in a year, what's your average? And then it could be numb, but like how often do you get a cold throughout the year? You know how some people can mm-hmm. say, you know, only around December.
Ooh, me.
December, right? I get like respiratory infection, or some people get, you know, congestion, right? They can pinpoint the time of year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know your baseline, right? So if you know, okay, my season is this, and now it's increased, right? And now you're frequently getting colds or respiratory issues. This could also, right, be contributed to stress, right, and things that have gone on. But yeah, how do you know your rhythm or your pattern of colds? Or
I don't. I'm pretty much like zero on the colds. I don't catch colds. I get a cold maybe every. It used to be every five. Now it's probably every three. The older
year,
I get, it's
year.
Every three. Yeah.
Okay.
It's been every three.
Okay.
I've been blessed with that particular whatever. I don't know what you call that, but good. Immune system. That's the one.
Okay.
That's the word.
All right.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool with that.
You take any supplements? Like,
I take my vitamins, but no, like I'm not taking any zinc and what's that? I'm not taking any extra vitamin C tablets or anything like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, I'm just taking my regular men's vitamin in the morning, and that's about it.
Okay.
But and that's only been in the last. Well, I've been taking those for quite a while, but even before that, I wasn't taking anything. You know.
Okay.
When I was a kid, Flintstone vitamins, do them count?
It does.
Oh, I used to love them. That was like for real. That was part of my routine. It was like, get up, take my Flintstone vitamin. Give me a Barney and a Fred. Couldn't wait to get a Dino.
What color?
Purple, my favorite color. I would eat all the purple. I would literally pour them all out and get the purple ones and then put them back in last, really? So they would be on top.
practice. Good practice.
Hey, that's what it was.
So, yeah, so thinking about right, lowered or reduced ability to fight, right,
mm-hmm.
cold and infection. And I can't tell you how common this is,
mm-hmm.
right, with the work that we do. And we have that questionnaire. That's a part of the assessment process is asking about these specific symptoms. And, you know, have you had chest pains, right,
mm-hmm.
in the past, you know, 6 months? You know, just this array of questioning about how you felt, right, because sometimes we don't pay attention, right, and act on, you know, what we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that, you know, we always say, okay, you should know or pay attention to when your body, right, starts to change
mm-hmm.
Its routine, right? So elevated cortisol levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you know, you feel like you've been in stress mode 24/7,
mm-hmm.
right? And let's see how I can explain this. You ever just had a day where you just couldn't come down? Like even if you were at home, you had a long day, you're trying to just wind down, kind of, you know, maybe it was a very stressful day, high level, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it took a while, right, for you to relax your body and calm down.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and some people can't shake that off, so they go to bed,
mm-hmm.
right, and they wake up feeling, right, the same way.
Yeah.
You know, so even the quote-unquote sleep that they had did not lower, right, their cortisol level.
They never made it to REM sleep, so yeah. they just
or they tossed and turned.
Their
right?
eyes just rested.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. They
mm-hmm.
never actually got to fit their brains never shut down.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And they sleep balled up,
mm.
right? That makes so like hands are, you know,
clenched. You sleep stressed.
Yeah, yeah. You
you sleep
right?
stressed.
And
right.
I know that that's hard to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, in terms of like, because we ask people like, okay, really pay attention to
mm-hmm.
How you sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to how you go to bed, right? So you know, if you know you've had a long day, right? You can identify that some things were, you know, you weren't in a good space, especially if you have experienced a loss, right? And it was just one of those days.
Mm-hmm.
Really think about how do you unwind before you go to bed? So taking those long showers, right? Making sure, you know, even if you need to talk to somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to somebody and not go to sleep with those things, right, running across your mind. Because I often hear people say, like, I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, like you slept with the TV on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
but for some people, it's because they don't want to think.
Mm.
Right. So they need a distraction to keep from thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because for them, as soon as they close their eyes,
mm-hmm.
those thoughts become and it's been explained like my brain just won't shut off.
Yes.
And imagine that trauma that they are trying to, you know, put in perspective or the fear. Right. Literally, when they say when they close their eyes, right, they really, really, right, relive or think about what's going on. And then they don't want the nightmares.
Mm.
You know, and we've worked with many, many people who have experienced violent traumas. And the dreams, not even dreams, the nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Or the visions, right, that they relive is very graphic.
Mm.
So this is how severe, right, this can be for a person when you say, I don't want to sleep because I don't want to see this in my thoughts. We're talking the graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought about something. I had the privilege of sitting with a group of first responders, and they were sharing how those of them that work in those high, you know, crime areas.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see what they see, right? And they have to live with those visions, right? They are the first on the scene, and I'm talking about the paramedics, right?
Mm-hmm.
They too are traumatized, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, right? We hear it, right? But they see, right? They see the aftermath of that. And you know, I said that to say, you know, as we talk about this, this is to be more understanding. And those of you with loved ones and who are in these fields, right? Understand, you know, even with police officers, like years ago, we sat on a panel listening in how traffic accidents, right? Again, what the exposure, right, to the scene, have to listen, right, to the details of such. This is all trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? So for some people, just by the nature of the work that they do, they've always been exposed. Right, to chronic trauma events, traumatic events. And when you think about these lists of physical reactions, you know, these are the things that, you know, when you think about people taking time off work, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to undergo certain treatment recommendations for certain conditions, right? And we get, you know, when they come in for talk therapy, we say, okay, well, tell us what's been going on with you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a, you know, trip through your life. Right. And it's really listening to them. And it's like, wow, their physical right body is responding to this ongoing exposure. Right.
Mm-hmm.
To these scenes, to the hearing of, to where it made them sick.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It made them sick. And I think, you know, all of us in here. You know, we've probably been exposed in our settings to like, you know, what used to get to me, when I see our young people fight,
mm-hmm.
that thing really, I don't know what it does. I know my body responds, right?
Like okay.
When I see young people fighting,
mm-hmm.
And I have to go and like really decompress, for real. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, that's kind of where I know my soft spot,
mm-hmm.
right? When it comes to like, okay, wait, you know, I don't have a clue who these kids are, right? I mean, I could be driving down the street and in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
See that, like I, my body just physically responds. I feel it, right? My heart definitely starts to, you know, the heartbeat increases. I don't know. It's just something about seeing young kids fighting, right, that really elevates me.
Yeah. And they're, yeah, I think for me, the kid thing is seeing a child mistreated or knowing that a child is coming from an environment that is not conducive to his or her success, really, like, especially when you've met the parents. You know, there's a lot of, you know, because working in the school system, you see
yeah.
kids all the time and you go like, wow. And then when you meet the parents, you go, this kid ain't got a chance. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, mm-hmm. and it's like, and you know, because of our positions, we can't say anything. But a lot of times it's like you really just want to grab the kid, the parent, and grab them in the collar and put them up
yeah.
against the wall
yeah.
and say, you will be the very one on television crying mm-hmm. about, you know, little Johnny didn't do this or little Johnny didn't do that. And it's all going to stem from right here because his mama
right.
didn't do this
right.
and his mama or his TT didn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's hard.
Yeah. And we have to take care of ourselves. Right?
True.
So, you know, it, there are many professions where we have to think about, right, how do we continue to take care of ourselves while we are continuously exposed,
mm-hmm.
right, to the trauma of others of which we need to support, you know, because one thing is for sure, we have our professional life and we have our personal lives, right? So we go through things, right? In our personal lives, right? We experience, right, life as it is as well. And so, again, just really understanding, you know, we have to treat ourselves, right, when it comes to our bodies, right, and it changing. And it's almost like your body telling you it needs to be addressed,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know, to be honest, going back to that lower resistance to colds, like I knew because I have allergies, you know, I know that I have to take high levels of high doses of vitamin C, right? Because mm-hmm. I opted out of the, you know, Claritin and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that wasn't working anymore. Once I started doing more work, right, clinical mm-hmm. work in certain areas, because I was hearing more, I was, you know, just overall, right, my mental capacity, mm-hmm. right, was being expanded. And so that meant, like, I did have to, right, mm-hmm. tap more into the medical recommendation, right, until I can figure out what were the best practices,
mm-hmm.
right, for the work that I was trying to now do. You know, so I too know how just listening to others and being available and also being in the communities where these things are happening, where I have to take care of me as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because my physical, right, how I used to take care of myself wasn't working anymore, right? And so working longer hours. Right.
Mm-hmm.
All of that matters as it relates to how then do you make those necessary adjustments? Because when you don't address those immediate and delayed physical reactions, you have long term health effects.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Including heart issues, even liver. Right. Liver. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, as far as like drinking alcohol, when you're under stress, I listen for how people consume alcohol, and I listen to people share how they can consume pints at a time. And when they share, you know, because they're trying to forget or not have to,
mm-hmm.
right, address the issues of life or just stay present, like they feel like they needed to stay in a good mood, you know, that person drinks all day. So it's inevitable, right, that
mm-hmm.
their organs, right, will begin to be affected. Hence, you know, many people when they are told by a doctor, hey, you need to slow it down, right, or you need to take this medication, but the medication says you got to stop drinking, right? You can't drink and take the medication.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they make a decision to what? Keep drinking and not take the medication.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there are some instances where we compromise, right, our health, right, because we've not dealt with, right, the impact of trauma, right, because there's a long route, right, that we feel like it is to heal, right? It's a long journey
mm-hmm.
to healing, and we need it instant, right? And that instant works because it's readily available.
Yeah.
Right? You know, one thing that and this is not, you know, it is what it is, but when our drug stores, and I won't name
mm-hmm.
in here,
mm-hmm.
started selling alcohol, certain grocery stores that didn't sell alcohol,
mm-hmm.
right, are now have a pretty large selection
mm-hmm.
to choose from. I then knew that was going to be a challenge for us as clinicians. I've had, you know, situations where
I can't even remember a time when, and I'm sure there probably was. I don't remember a time when the two the big two that we know, in Chicago, that they didn't sell alcohol. But I do, it probably was a time, but I can't recall a time when they didn't.
Like, I knew they sell wine.
Right, but now they upgraded since then.
Yes.
They have everything.
They knocked some walls out.
Okay. Yeah. There was a time. You're right. There was a time when it was just.
And not all of them did.
It was just wine. And, right. All of them did not.
Right. Not all of them did.
Because they would even tell you on the outside.
Yes,
like,
yes.
We do have. And then even then it was wine coolers. Maybe beer.
Yeah. The
but
little bottle.
That was it. Now you can go in there and get you a fifth of Martell. That's what you drank.
Right? I'm talking like whole remodeling to where
yes.
they have aisles.
Yes.
Of it, and, you know, for me, that was, you know, and it is what it is, but imagine a person being in stress and what's readily available
mm-hmm.
is alcohol as opposed to a counselor, a support group, right? Because, you
mm-hmm.
know, I understand our churches don't keep their doors unlocked, right? For people to just walk into, but right now,
Catholic churches do.
Yeah, they do. Drugs and alcohol are readily available,
mm-hmm.
right? For people to immediately tap out, right? And so just keeping with that, we talk about the long term effects of that, right? Autoimmune, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kicks in, and so. You know, these are things to think about, right? When you say, let's deal with the real truths and realities of trauma, we also have to take a look at the physical reaction,
mm-hmm.
right? So I hope that, you know, thinking about what you've gone through in your life, right? You know, there is a such thing as suppressing it, right? Pushing it to the back,
mm-hmm.
but also understand that this could also be contributing to your insomnia. Right, disruptions in your sleep, your digestive issues, right? You
mm-hmm.
know, ulcers, as they say, or you think it's ulcers, right? Or you're taking a bunch of Tums, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that, GERD or acid reflux,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're anxiety driven, right? And so when your anxiety rises, right, it causes disruption, right, in other functions of your body. So really understanding that it's now time to take a look at, okay, you know, what do I need to truly address in my life, right? Because, yes, our reality is any of these symptoms that I just named right now has a prescription, right? Any faint, right? Blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
right? Extreme fatigue, exhaustion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? cortisol level. Right, you know, low resistance to COVID, like all of these things, you could walk an aisle or go see your doctor and they will prescribe something. So when you ask that person, you know, tell me the list of medications that you take, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they say, hold on, I already know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's about to, you know, let me get my pen ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we have to take a look at what is prolonging you from getting your health together, right? So let's look at that, you all. Let's look at what's happened, right? What's making you sick,
mm-hmm.
right? What's making you sick, right? What's making you nauseous, right? Mom, why can't you hold food down? You know what I'm saying? Why
mm-hmm.
why can't you eat, right? Like what's the longest time you can go without eating?
Oh, that's a good question.
Can you go a whole day or a couple?
No, I could, but it's not healthy for me because I'll end up with a headache. And then depending on the severity of that headache, that thing will take me out for the whole next day. So, yeah.
Ah, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
You could be so busy that you don't eat at all.
And while some people see a dramatic weight loss,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people experience weight gain.
That's yeah, and I mentioned
you know?
This to some people. I said you got to be careful not eating because your metabolism is looking for mm-hmm. food,
yes.
something energy, and the
yes.
metabolism does not eat fat; it eats muscle.
Yes,
and
yes.
so it'll leave you fat because you ain't feeding it. So it's like, okay, we'll take this and we'll eat it, and
mm-hmm.
we'll eat right, and you'll be praying that prayer later on,
right?
And also like inflammation, right? So you know
that too.
This whole fitness thing that I'm on, I'm
mm-hmm.
learning a lot, right? So it really just wasn't, hey, you know, come start doing this, right, in the way to drop off. Like, I'm identifying so many areas of my life, right, that needs to be changed, put in perspective, right, mm-hmm. reassessed, right? And a part of that is taking care of myself because of what's going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Sleep is essential. Right? Because mm-hmm. if you don't sleep, your body can't repair itself and you can't rest, right? You don't, all this like a domino effect. You don't have an appetite. You don't eat the right foods, right? Because now you don't feel like cooking or you don't go grocery shopping. So it's whatever's on the, you know, what's the nearest fast food,
mm-hmm.
right? Restaurant. So it really gets to, and then that doesn't alleviate those other symptoms. It exacerbates it, right? So really just understanding, right, that you have to take action, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are with this. A part of trauma-informed care is addressing, right,
mm-hmm.
the physical reactions to trauma, okay? So don't, you don't have to live with these things,
mm.
right? Ask yourself, how long have you been not sleeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you had nightmares?
Mm.
Right? How long have you not been able to hold your food down? Or good. Now you've stopped eating?
I ain't had a good night, man.
Good. You just have a good life. Or you don't let things bother you.
I used to, though. Like, I used to have some of the best, like, best and worst dreams ever.
The best and worst
dreams? Yeah, it'd be really, really great or really, really bad.
Okay.
But they were like, you know, like real life, you were there, you know, you woke up looking for the bruise because it's like, I was fighting and it's got to be a bruise somewhere because you were fighting in the dream and you look, you know, and you wake up like, whew. But now it's like, yeah, I try not to allow the daily stresses, even though they probably still do. And I've probably figured out some way to not leave them in the forefront. But yeah. I believe part of it, they do still come back
okay.
at some point. Yeah.
Okay.
Make themselves known.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that, again, that's when your body tells you
mm-hmm.
you need to address it,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, many of these symptoms, they are signs,
mm-hmm.
right, to address self. And yes, I do. I will say a lot of physicians are referring people to talk therapy.
Mm.
Kudos to those physicians who are asking those questions. They're actually doing screenings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know this because, right, it's shared with us as providers when those phone calls come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say, you know, my doctor recommended, you know, I do this. I just have a few questions. So definitely shouts out, you know, to those physicians who are doing those screenings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And understanding like, okay, listen, right? A part of this is you need to go talk to somebody. Right. And they're getting into, quote unquote, your business. Right. To make sure that, you know, you're not this list doesn't get longer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With these physical, you know, physical reactions to some stuff that's continuing. And I don't this is stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. From especially when you're trying to achieve things in life and you feel like, you know, you're being suppressed or, you know, you experience, as they say, one thing after the other,
mm-hmm.
right? So of course, you got to turn up taking care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? You got to turn that notch up. But at this state, if you are experiencing any of these things, I really and truly encourage you not just to seek your physician, but find someone to talk to explore, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on that you are revisiting recurrent thoughts? What's going on with you that you are nervous and you have this high level of fear? What are you stressed out about? And we're not talking about a job, right? We're talking about futures, right? We're talking about, you know, those of us with children, right? There are many parents out there who have a serious concern, right, for the well-being of their children that is causing these reactions, sleepless nights. Right. All of that. Mm-hmm. So pay attention to your body. Last week we talked about emotions. Right. We're just trying to tie this in to say, hey, you know, make sure you are allowing yourself to be in a safe space to holistically approach. Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with your body, which includes your mind, right, which includes your physical stability, your emotional stability as well. All right. Good stuff. All right. So that was what we focused on tonight, right? The physical reaction. Next week, we are going to dive more into the cognitive reactions, right? What happens when, you know, you can't do your job anymore, right? We're going to talk about that and what possible options are, you know, when you get to these specific reactions in your life. All right. So thank you all for tuning in. Great discussion, right? We look forward to next week. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll be back next week. We out.
you were just